go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, whoa, howdy. It is a minute past the hour, and goodness gracious, you're back to, me and that mouse in my pocket are back to our normal happy little corner of the internet, where for the next 180 minutes, with the possible exception of a little interlude, say, top of next hour-ish, we will be engaging in the format invented here and, dare I say, perfected here, called Conversation Radio. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go to jump into the, oh my God, it works again, Horn chat room. I had a note from longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky just moments ago that Horn chat does, yes indeed, work once more. And I verified that for myself. And there he is. Sparky's in there. I'm in there. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Texas Tea. And more to come. Hopefully, if you're listening, you're hearing this, and you're not hanging out over at the Malloy Room, which is a fine, fine chat room, but it's just nice to be home. Yeah, so come on over. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom for the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is Horn Chat. Oh, hi! I'm Bob Kincaid. You're just right here in my happy little corner of the internet, and it is the 30th day of November 2015, the final day of November, which finds us somewhere north of $600 in the hole for fundraising after last week. Because, well, being away from the Horn stream, I was not able to fundraise to keep the lights on, and consequently, we are in a spot. Truly, we are. We need, including tonight, and, well, no, that probably doesn't really, yeah, kind of. Yeah, around $600 is what we need to raise to finish the month of November okay and not carry over a deficit into December, which would be great. Deficits, December deficits are the worst kinds of deficits, aren't they? Well, there aren't any good ones, are there? Wait a minute, Dick Cheney once said deficits don't matter. That little bastard never ran an internet radio network, did he? What do you mean, I'm not on? Daggummit.
Yeah, Horn's doing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right, too.
Well, that just beats all. No, I'm on. Thank you, Jug of Punch, for letting me know. Good, and thank you, Sparky. Loud and clear on TuneIn, and good here, Bob. Thank you, Asa. You're on, Bob. Loud and clear. Whew. See, I could never, I could never, well, but anyway. Okay, let's see here. Further confirmation. All right, thank you. Thank you, Haley. Haley out in Arkansas telling me, hearing you fine on the White Rose Society stream. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. And thank you, Robert. You, Robert, letting me know you're loud and clear in Oz. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very God. I think I might have cried otherwise. But no, no, we're rocking and rolling, apparently. And so I don't know what we need. Did the 10 at 60, 60 at 10, 1 at 600, 2 at 300, 3 at 200, 6 at 100, 12 at 50, 24 at 25. Ooh, that's interesting. 24 at 25. 48 at 1250 and 96 at 6 1/4 will get us to November, and we can get back to the business of paying bills, which we have not done for a week, and that makes things difficult. So, of course, all you need to do is to go over to headonradionetwork.com and click the Contribute tab, and that's where you'll find the PayPal interface. And if you would like, we are still looking for our first 100 subscribers to monthly $10 monthly contribution to the Horn. And it is let's see, that would be 60. That would be 60 people. If we could get 60 $10 subscribers this evening, we would cross that hundred mark real easy. Mm-hmm. And it's also, thank you, Jug of Punch, in the chat room. That's also 100 people at $6 a piece. Yeah. But anyway, you slice it, not going into December is a huge, huge deal. Not going into December with a deficit. Yeah, that's right. 200 at $3 a piece, Jug of Punch. See, y'all do the ciphering ever so much better than I do. It was a very, very interesting week last week. On the first day of the week and the last day of the week, we got bitten in our fundament by a piece of equipment, which is probably going to be replaced. Apart from that, it was a delightful experience, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But having worked for 10 years inside a format that is geared toward conversation and, by the way, technical note, Ferg has the stress line with him this evening, so we'll be using the Skype line, 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, for our telephonic communications this evening. Just a note to let you know. Where Ferg is kind of has a little bit to do with what I was doing earlier in the day. And it was not a pleasant thing. The day before Thanksgiving, and this is just to share with you what a little bit of slice of life, daily life here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. The day before Thanksgiving, a young woman, same age as Ferg, with whom Ferg had grown up and. In fact, some of you may have seen him playing guitar with her in a video on Facebook a year or two ago. She exited this existence. By her own doing. The details are not important, I suppose. No, it's not that they're not important, it's just that they're damn tragic. Once again, easy access to a firearm leads to an easy exit from this mortal coil. And so I spent the afternoon. Agnes ran Dr. Bill, produced Dr. Bill, and I spent the afternoon setting up the Horn's PA system so that there could be amplified speech at the funeral home for this young woman's memorial. It's got Ferg torn all to hell. She was very, very special to him. And I wanted, you know, when he asked me to help out, I said sure. Bless her, she was a, well, that's the wrong word. But she was gay, and she was an atheist, to the best of my knowledge. That's what Ferg said. And so I wanted to do what little bit we could do to help out in that situation. Because maybe this is ill-placed, but is having internet service at a funeral home deemed improper? I honestly don't know. Is it somehow wrong? Because see, the reason I had to do all of this is they had no way. I mean, they had a PA system, speakers recessed in the ceiling and all that stuff, but they had no way of playing modern music formats. And they had a playlist of music that they wanted to have rolling during the time when people are mingling and remembering and grieving. But the facility had no way of dealing with an MP3 and had no way of downloading bought music. Because, see, that's the thing. In the modern era, people don't necessarily have CDs some people have vinyl. Some people never left vinyl. But not a lot of music's produced on vinyl. 45s, 33s, what have you. And so it presented rather of a conundrum. And so I took one of our little portable mixers and our PA system and a couple of mics and a whole lot of cords and a laptop down and set the rig up so that they would be able to play and sing as they remembered another Appalachian child. I'm sorry, I'm 52, soon to be 53, and if you're 19, you're legally an adult, you can vote. You still can't drink a beer. Well, you can drink one, but you can't legally obtain one. But it smacks of childhood, and Ferg has been absolutely devastated by the fact that that she checked out. And with good reason. So that's my afternoon. And I'm just wondering, I mean, should your thoughts, I mean, should a funeral parlor be somewhere should that be the one place on earth where you can just not have to deal with the digital world? Or are we just a little behind the times here in the hills and hollers? I mean, this is like I said, this has been tough on Ferg, and I can't even contemplate. Oh my God! But it don't always get better, and I guess here we have proof of that. It's not easy to be straight in West Virginia. It's twice as not easy to not be straight. Ugh. Yeah. So I just thought I'd let you know that's what I was up to. Not necessarily a nominate. No, it's not at all. It's not at all. But we do have nominations. Oh, yes, we do. Because, of course, this 30th day of November 2015, well, it falls on a Monday. And you know what Mondays are for. Mm-hmm. That's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. You will not believe your ears once you check out what's going on behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. That's right. For less than 17 cents per hour of programming, this is a one-of-a-kind experience. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. Come one, come all who walk or crawl to experience the wildness, the insanity, the madness that is the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, Republicans in general. Yes, indeed, it's Moran Monday on the Horn. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. Oh, my goodness gracious, a little reminder as you step off the midway toward the Moran Monday tent to keep purses, small children, animals, wallets, and European messenger bags close at hand, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you absolutely will. You know, you never know where the Morans are going to necessarily come from. I mean, there are some places that are rich fields for the foraging of Morans for Moran Monday on the Horn. You can almost count on something being a possibility and availability coming out of the Sunday shows, where for some reason or another there's a passion for booking Morans to speak to Washington, face the prostitutes this week with a snuffleupagus. But that's not where our first nominee comes from. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I only ran across it earlier this morning. When twice a day, really, the New York Times will put out something called your morning briefing and your evening briefing. It's almost as though you and I are digitally gathered in a room where a stentorian-voiced the member of the for-profit media at the New York Times will say, "All right, y'all, listen up. Here's what it's like out there, okay? You ready? All right. So Barack Obama's going to go to Paris, and they're going to talk about the climate. You want to be up on that one. Y'all stay safe out there." Right? And coming out of the shooting in Colorado Springs, of course, there's an abundance of Moranity and just plain pig-eyed meanness. Oh yeah. But this first nominee is so far out in left field that we had to get to it first. There's just no getting around it. It's just weird. Or maybe stupid. Because it's definitely stupid. And it's stupid that comes from the pages of the New York Times. No, look, the New York Times, you can criticize them, but, you know, they're the New York Times, and you kind of hope that there's going to be a little journalism happen. I mean, if journalism can't happen at the New York Times, you're going to be hard-pressed to find it anywhere else in the for-profit media. I mean, right? I take that back. Journalism happens a lot, but on a national level, an international scope, if the New York Times ain't got no journalism, Don't expect to find much of it anywhere else. Right? Right. Oh, by the way, since we're back to the internet, can I just say, fuck! Okay, I'm all better now. That was cleansing. But no, so in the midst of reading climate change, Paris stuff and stuff about the shooting in Colorado Springs, I ran across this article, and just I made a noise. Agnes came running in to make sure everything was okay. She does that, you know. And let me say, Agnes did a fabulous job last week, and I miss her terribly sitting here right by my side. But she looked at me and said, "No, this you've been doing for 10 years, Bob. You can do it without me." And so she's not in here right now, and I miss her. But she did. She came running into because I was I hooted like a barn owl. You know, whoop! Yeah, right. And what is it? What is it? And I because I had seen it on my phone, and I just held the phone up with the headline to her, and she did that. I could have had a V8 smack in the head thing, and just turned around and walked out without further comment. Here's the headline. And understand, the subject nation, well, kind of does, but kind of doesn't have anything to do with this. I would say this if it, I would the response would have been the same if the subject nation was Mongolia. I mean, let's just say, let's make it Mongolia, so because, the you know, when you mention this particular country, people get kind of cranky, and they tend to holler and name call and things like that. But let's say you opened up the pages of the New York Times one morning, and you saw, wait a minute, do you hear my pages of the New York Times? Actually, it's a music list and an email from last week. But we're going to pretend this is Daddy's New York Times, which he's unfolding at the breakfast table there this morning, right? So you open up your pages of the New York Times, and you're browsing, and you're scanning and skimming, and there you see it. Mongolia aims to recreate wine that Genghis Khan drank. Okay, that's not fair. Let's see. Italy aims to recreate wine that Romulus drank. Better? Because I think we can all agree that Romulus is a mythical character. And he is said to have founded the city of Rome, and you know, even I'm reading this awesome book right now. Kim in New York City turned me onto it. It's called SPQR by Mary Beard, and wow, I would love to have that woman on this program to talk with. But it's a history of Rome, and it's magnificent. And every night before I go to bed, I promise myself a chapter or two, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome. And she deals with the fact that even Roman writers of the Republican era and the Imperial era, you tended to look and go, nah, really, Romulus? No, come on, probably wasn't real. Italy aims to recreate wine that Romulus drank. The New York Times would never print that. The New York Times wouldn't publish that. The public editor of the New York Times, before the thing ever went to press, would be, wait a minute, I quit. Romulus? Turkey aims to recreate wine that St. Nicholas drank. Well, no, he was real. Mexico aims to recreate drunk-making Octley that Quetzalcoatl drank. There. That. It would never make it into the paper. The public editor of the New York Times would go, boys, send this one over to the Onion. Quit f***ing off, okay? Wait a minute. I'm back on the internet. Boys, send this one over to the Onion. Quit fucking around. Right? Because this is not... Okay, so here's the real headline. Israel aims to recreate wine that Jesus and King David drank. Son of a bitch! I think I'm going to have a swearing problem tonight. I've got to get it all out of my system. Sorry. No, really. Really. Israel aims to recreate wine that Jesus and King David drank. You know, I expect this from the History Channel. Only at the History Channel it would be, Israel aims to recreate wine that Jesus and King David drank and was propagated by aliens. Because History Channel. But son of a gun. This is in the New York Times. Can we point out, because the article does, that if you're going to talk King David, and there's a reference in here to Solomon. Uh-huh. There's a reference in here to Solomon, and, well, Solomon is referred to as having existed, at best, the 10th, okay, there's a he referred to here, a Mr. Drury. Mr. Drury believes seeds found in donkey droppings in Timnah, where copper mines date to King Solomon's era, the 10th century BC, must have come from pomace, the residue left after winemaking, since animals would not have been fed fresh fruit. There's no historical evidence. Okay, I mean, you've got the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is not historical evidence. There's no historical evidence for the existence of Solomon. There's no historical evidence for the existence of David. And God knows there's no historical evidence for the existence of Moses. Moses. I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. I mean, they live in the same mythic bronze era space as, okay, maybe not bronze. Romulus is probably like, you know, Iron Age. But as, no, it's kind of bronzy, is it? Yeah, it is. It's kind of bronzy. As Romulus does. Or Theseus. Yeah, let's try that headline for a minute just for the all of it. Greece aims to recreate wine that Theseus drank. Because she couldn't get away with that either. And then this, between 10th and by the way, by the goddamn way, the New York Times is apparently still using B.C. and A.D. Before Christ and Anno Domini, year of our Lord. Really, year of our Lord? Really, New York Times? Son of a gun, how about that? No, because it's my understanding, and has been since I was just a little college student riding to anthropology class on the back of my dinosaur back in the early 1980s, that enlightened people now use the terms CE and BCE, Common Era and Before the Common Era, but apparently it hasn't made its way to the New York Times style book as yet. But then again, the New York Times apparently thinks King David was real. Him and all of his traditional family values, biblical-based weddings, wives, and concubines. We looked it up on the program one evening. They run into the hundreds. He had more wives and concubines than we have dollars in our goddamn deficit this evening. And that's a big deficit. The New York Times. Jesus and King David drank. Well, I mean, as soon as the program's over, that's it. I'm writing a letter to the public editor of the New York Times. I don't care. There was not once. Okay, you know, maybe in the modern era, there's some poor dude working for slave wages somewhere in Israel named Jesus. Well, okay. So okay, then maybe, just maybe, because of a story I got here from last week, it's entirely possible that somewhere in the United Arab Emirates, there's a guy named Jesus. Only he pronounces it Jesus because he's from Colombia and he's a member of a mercenary army that the UAE have put together and has sent to Yemen to fight in the vicious, vile, murderous, bloodthirsty war there. No, really, I'm not kidding. Did you catch that last week? I didn't get to it in the stack, and, well, damn, I'm sorry, but I didn't. The United Arab Emirates has put together a private mercenary army made up of people from Colombia and have sent them to Yemen to fight the war that is being waged there, in which the United States and Iran and Saudi Arabia are also participating. It's not all Colombians. There are also Panamanians, Salvadorans, and Chilean soldiers, which makes it, again, increasingly likely that probably for the first time in recorded goddamn history, there's actually somebody named Jesus in the Middle East. Yeah. But anyway, that headline. Israel aims to recreate wine that Jesus and King David drank. No. Because if they'd gotten it right, if they'd actually anglicized his name right, Yeshua, Joshua, then maybe you got a fighting chance at being factual in that stupid fucking headline. Because Joshua, Yeshua, that was as common as Bob. At the time period we're talking about, in fact, the guy whom the Christians will celebrate his birth later this month, even though it certainly didn't happen then, his name was Yeshua Bar Yusuf, Yeshua son of Joshua son of Joseph, but his name weren't Jesus. That Jesus and King David drank. And David? David? Isn't that Daud? Mm-hmm. And this is... And what it turns into, once you get past the fantastic the History Channel Wine from the Aliens headline, it's datelined in the Heifer Valley of Israel. Yes. Thank you, Marty. I do mean late next month. It's still November. I'm just trying to get us out of November and outside the... Right, you get it. It's datelined in the Heifer Valley of Israel. Come on, bossy. Yeah, the Heifer Valley. And the opening lines, the new crisp, acidic, and mineral white from a high-end Israeli winery was aged for 8 months, or, depending on how you look at it, at least 1,800 years. Really, that depends on how I look at it? That's kind of a factual thing, isn't it? It's either 8 months old, it's either 8 months aged or 1,800 years aged, because, no, they didn't find a vat. The wine, called Marawi and released last month by Recanati Winery, is the first commercially produced by Israel's growing modern industry from indigenous grapes. Huh. I'm surprised they haven't put indigenous grapes. I'm surprised they haven't shot some hellfire missiles at it. It grew out of a groundbreaking project at Ariel University in the occupied West Bank. Yeah, that's just kind of bland there. Okay. That aims to use DNA testing to identify and recreate ancient wines drunk by the likes of King David and Jesus Christ! Ilyashiv Rory, the aerial enologist who heads the research, traces Marawi, also called Hamdani, and Jandali grapes to A.D. 220 A.D. You see that? Not C.E. Because, well, who needs modern standards of reference when you're the New York Times? Based on a reference in the Babylonian Talmud. Well, I mean, but that's 220 A.D. That's not 1,200 years ago. Morons! See what it does to me? Question coming in from Gerald. Would that be Romulan ale? Different Romulus. This guy, presumably was actually seen by humans at one point in time. But there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. I know, hard to resist. Wait a minute. Goddamn cowbell. We kind of had to tuck it away to make sure it didn't actually get dinged or anything on the air last week. But no, this turns out to be a story about Israelis making wine that they claim to be Israeli, but is actually from grapes that have been cultivated by Palestinians. But what's a Palestinian? Palestinians don't even exist. They're like, I don't know, Romulus. Or Quetzalcoatl. All our scriptures are full with wine and with grapes. Before the French were even thinking about making wine, we were exporting wine. We have a very ancient identity, and for me, reconstructing this identity is very important. For me, it's a matter of national pride. Oh, yeah, I'll bet it is, buddy. You'll just do what you've done with other Palestinian institutions in Israel. There's a paragraph down saying Palestinians have their own ownership claim on these grapes. Yeah, but they'd better not raise it or they'll get hellfire missiled for it. Amer Kardash, Kremison's export director. Kremison is a small winery near Bethlehem. And way down into the body of the article, the author here says, Reconati is not the first to sell wine from these grapes. Kremison, a small winery near Bethlehem, where Palestinians partner with Italian monks, has been using Hamdani, Jandali, and other local fruit since 2008. Amir Kordash, Kremison's export director, sniped in an email, "As usual in Israel, they declare that falafel, tahina, tabbouleh, and hummus are now Jandali grapes are an Israeli product. I'd like to inform you that these types of grapes are totally Palestinian grapes grown on Palestinian vineyards." Yeah, well, you better shut up, buddy, or they'll send in some sacred Israeli bulldozers to bulldoze those Palestinian vineyards, and then they won't be Palestinian vineyards anymore. You wait and see. So, there you have it. And you can go through it all. And there's not a goddamn word in here about any proof of the existence of King David, no proof of the existence of Jesus the Savior, but we're going to make their wine. And you know what? I guess it's fitting after all, because it's the wine is going to be as imaginary. The Palestinian wine that's being called Israeli is going to wind up being as imaginary as Jesus and King David. But this just seemed like an appropriate starting place for Moran Monday. Because I saw that, and I can't help wondering. I cannot help wondering how many other people saw this this article today, and said, well, okay, really? I might kind of, because we have to use the accent, right? I might kind of like to try some of that wine Jesus done drank. Of course, I don't reckon there's any way we can ever know what the wine for a grape variety was when he turned the water into wine. Because, I mean, that was sacred all by itself. I mean, it didn't come from no grape around there. Well, it's just a jug of water and then it's a jug of wine. But I noticed. Oh, hell yes, I noticed. Because you can't have a great big howling bunch of stupid like that and me see it and not notice it. Meanwhile, that's enough of that, because we got other stuff to go into. And I actually saw this on Friday and said I would save it for more in Monday, because this is a prime representation of the particular breed that we recognize as Morian. Carol Baker sent me a few tweets on Friday, a screenshot of some tweets. And, you know, just wow. And they seem to have, I don't know, I was in the wrong place. There we go. I don't know if photos in Skype disappear. Oh, there they are. No, they don't disappear. You're going to love this. Just some representative right-wing tweets in the wake of the Colorado Springs deer attack. That's D-E-A-R. What is it? Richard Deere. On the Planned Parenthood there. As once he was subdued after he'd murdered three people and wounded a lot of others, he was heard, "No more baby ports!" So over on Twitter, where things can get particularly nasty sometimes, Planned Parenthood people wants police to save their lives. Strange they don't give a shit about babies, using the little pile of poo icon. They don't give a shit about babies' lives. Planned Parenthood shooter has done more in one day to save black babies than Black Lives Matter has done in the last several months. I wonder how many unborn babies were saved by this gunman interrupting normal Planned Parenthood activities. Just looking on the bright side. I decided to save that for this evening because that was just a swamp I couldn't get into on Friday night. Because it is indeed a swamp. And now, courtesy of Haley via Twitter, at Bob Kincaid, a link coming from Daily Kos by Jen Hayden. Man arrested near hospital after he threatened to shoot surviving Planned Parenthood attack victim. Memorial Hospital in Colorado Springs was on lockdown earlier today after threats were received. Colorado Springs police are looking for a suspicious person Monday afternoon at Memorial Hospital after he allegedly made threats to shoot one of the wounded victims from Friday's Planned Parenthood shooting, according to police. Heavy police activity was spotted in the area around the hospital, and now police believe they have their suspect. A man was arrested near the hospital during a traffic stop. Police said he is believed to be the man who made the threat. The person writing the diary entry at Daily Kos says it's frightening. The new suspect not only made threats to one of the surviving victims, but was located near the hospital. Hats off to the Colorado Springs police for acting quickly. There is no word on who received the threats and what the motive might have been for another shooting. Oh, hell no, there's no idea. Nobody knows what the motive is. Those good, God-fearing, loving, peace-loving, Bible-believing, upstanding, Christ-centered Christian evangelical fundamentalist. Nah, there's no way of knowing the motive. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Couldn't possibly know the motive. The motive is unknowable, right? Couldn't possibly be known. So we know by now who the dead are. We know that one was a member of the the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs Police Department, who went toward and not away from danger. We know now that K.R.A. Stewart was another of the veterans and victims. He was a veteran of the Iraq War. 29 years old, a father of two. He ran outside the Planned Parenthood building to try to get cell signal. And then when he heard the shots being fired, he ran back in to tell people to take cover and was murdered for his trouble. His brother, Leontay Chandler, said he credited his brother's behavior to the training he had received in the Army. He told the for-profit media at NBC, "I believe that's his military instinct, you know, leave no soldier behind, leave no civilian behind, just leave no one behind." So he ran back inside trying to help out others. I don't know where he was at as far as how many more breaths he had, but he knew, and before his time ran out, I guess that was his main priority, to help save other lives. Mr. Chandler's brother, Mr. Chandler, said he tried to run back inside the building. Well, he did, and tell the other people inside, you know, take cover, get down. People started taking cover, hiding in bathrooms and whatnot. And then this, asked if his brother was a hero, Chandler said, "Definitely, definitely." Can we take a moment? I mean, it's Moran Monday. What kind of dumbass reporter asks a dumbass question like that? Is it just because you don't have anything? Oh, it sure sucks about your brother. I mean, that's what he did. So do you think he was a hero? What's Leontay Chandler supposed to say? Nah, I don't think so. I wish he had. You know, I wish he'd let somebody else take that goddamn bullet instead of him taking it. I'd like to still have a brother. But no, the for-profit media, because, you know, you run out of stuff. So, like, what's your favorite color, dude? The NBC News report continues. Describing Stewart's actions, Chandler added, "People were terrified. People were crying and scared, seeing other people get shot. I believe my brother put his life on the line to prevent that. That's definitely heroic." He went on to describe his brother, Leontay Chandler, did, as a tremendous father, a wonderful father of two daughters, aged 11 and 7. And, of course, thanks to the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and thanks to the National Republican Rifle Association, that 11-year-old daughter will never celebrate birthdays 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, etc., on upward with her father. And as time passes, the 7-year-old will have memories of her father that become dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and will be replaced only with a shadowy place where resides nothing but sadness. And you can't very well expect a 7-year-old or a 70-year-old to make sense out of why a man has to die, because we have a vicious, vitriolic, hate-filled, pustulant, poisonous right wing in this country that gins up these situations, these murders, these yawning, gaping hell mouths into blood and terror and death. Haven't seen anything from the NRA about this, have you? No. No. But we have had commentary from Pastor, Brother, Governor, Reverend, Presidential Candidate, Diabetes Cure, Snake Oil Salesman, Mike Huckabee. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course they did. Huckabee finally got around to saying that this was an act of domestic terrorism, but he made it a point to make sure and allege that Planned Parenthood is an act of domestic terrorism. Evil bastard. And, of course, we get to use our big words in talking about Colorado Springs. Our big, big words. Because, of course, what happened in Colorado Springs was an act of stochastic terrorism. Learn it, know it, learn it, know it, use it, boys and girls. Because it happens... all over this country every day. It happens in three-hour blocks, brought to you courtesy of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and the Hannity Job and Bill O'Reilly over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. It's what happens when, say, a Bill O'Reilly hollers, "Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer," until he finally cuts through to the receptors of some pathetic brain bent on violence, and somebody goes and assassinates Dr. Tiller, even as he is worshiping his God, his Christ, in his church. Mm-hmm. That's stochastic terrorism. When the Beckerhead decides to go after the Tides Foundation because they're funded by George goddamn Soros. And a guy finally drinks enough liquid courage to get his freedom protectors out and to go and murder everybody in the building, but mercifully is popped for DUI before he can get there. Leontay Chandler in the NBC News story says, "I don't have any resentment or anything. I forgive him," he said of the murderer. "It's a hard pill to swallow because he took my only brother from me. That's the only brother that I had, that I grew up with. He took that away from me, and it's hard, but I forgive him. Jesus forgave me, so I have to forgive him." And right there, is why I want nothing to do with Christianity. I do not need the forgiveness of a 2,000-year dead zombie in order to choose whom I forgive. And it ain't the same thing. If you decide Jesus has forgiven you for, I don't know, crossing against the light or jaywalking or, you know, maybe one time you took a cookie out of the cookie jar when you were four and you told Mama that you hadn't. If you decide that you need forgiving for that, fine. But it ain't the same thing when you're forgiving a goddamned murderer. It's also none of my business. If that's how you get through the day, I guess that's, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. but there is no small amount of irony involved that in the immediate aftermath of the slaughter of nine people at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, including the assassination of a sitting state senator, well, that here we are a few months later, and the families of the victims of the Mother Emanuel murders said, oh, we forgive him just like Jesus did. And here's another man of color having to forgive another goddamn murderous white man who was only following orders, mind you. He was only following orders. Orders that come from the politicians and members of the for-profit media and the filthy, slimy scum holes of right-wing hate radio broadcasting and Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. It is in terms of things that the law likes to talk about as foreseeable as the day is long. Liability rests legally on a concept called foreseeability, reasonable foreseeability. And one has to ask, after how many of these things do we say, no, this is de facto reasonably foreseeable that when you holler and hoot about Planned Parenthood and baby parts, and you know what my favorite part of the Planned Parenthood movie was? I'll tell you. It was the part where they were sitting there snacking on gently roasted little baby hearts while discussing the sale price of baby tongues. Because that's what these freaks would have you believe. Of course, it never happened. It isn't in the video. And no, there's not some market for baby guts, aborted baby guts out there. But then again, facts don't matter to right-wing, bloodthirsty, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christianist evangelical fundamentalists. They don't matter a damn. And of course, we have ever so much more stuff to go into this evening. But well, that's a 58-minute filibobster there. And wasn't that fun? Well, I hope it was for you. Okay, maybe fun's not the right word, but maybe it had a cathartic quality to it. Yeah. Note coming in from Tim from L.A., new title and why the NRA is silent. Murder Moran Monday? Oh, and wonder why the NRA isn't saying a thing about Colorado Springs? Ha ha ha, well, over at Media Matters, your answer. 2 days before Planned Parenthood shooting, the NRA complained about the label Crazy White Gun Owner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we may have to check that out. Tim said earlier in the chat room, if you decide to share my email with everyone, get a hockey puck. You'll be wanting the hockey puck because we'll be going into this. This is listener supported conversation radio, and I want to send out thanks. Thanks to David. For becoming a new subscriber to the ongoing effort to keep this all, well, ongoing. Thank you very kindly, David. And thank you very kindly to Thomas, Jug of Punch, and thank you to Gerald. Oh, yeah, okay, there's going to be ciphering involved. And thank you to Carol Baker, who writes, in honor of Ferg's young friend, who got more acceptance from the horn in death than she could get from people she knew in life. too sadly true, Carol. Too sadly true. So of the $600 or so we need to raise this evening, thank you very much. In the first hour, we've gotten a nice start. We have, let's see, carry the 19. You divide by the number of hair on Jean-Luc Picard's head, and so that would be 560, 550... 548.43 to go. Thanks for the cipher and help there, Gerald. 548.53 to go to close November to the good. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully you'll have lots of friends to join in and take it down even further. So, yeah, a little break. And if you want to jump into the conversation, there are two ways, of course. The first being line 1, 304-574-8178. The stress line being out of service this evening because Ferg is at the service and he has the phone. 304-574-8178 is line 1, or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never done that before, it's really easy. Just send me a contact request. Tell me you're a member of the Horn Family Commune Congregation, and we will get right underway. And by the way, to anybody joining in who has never before been a regular participant in the Horn Family Commune Congregation, folks who may have come over since last week for 3 hours to get them all set and ready to rock and roll for Malloy at 9. Well, welcome, dadgummit. Welcome, welcome, welcome indeed. And I hope you have a good time, and I hope we get to hear from you. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Man, I love that sax. John Lennon, of course. Whatever gets you through the night. And did you, well, that's one of those, yeah, we miss John. But of course, John Lennon, yeah, more gun violence. And I hope this is not understood as being, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I hope this is understood as not being in any way an attempt to incite anyone to do anything, because that is not my intent in the least. In fact, I would like to intend the exact opposite. But is there anybody in this country whose murder by a disaffected, right-wing, militarized white guy with ready access to firearms, is there anybody in this country whose murder would make us finally go, oh, shit, really? Okay, yeah, let's fix this. Because, frankly, I know I can come up with some... I mean, Jesus, right-wingers were fucking celebrating. Celebrating. Over the little black fetuses whose lives got saved because that man went on a murder rampage at the Planned Parenthood. They were celebrating. As noted last week, and brought up in a note from John while I was filling in for Malloy, there were five Israelis who were seen celebrating as the Twin Towers collapsed in heaps of rubble and took 3,000 lives with them. I mean, because that there's a temptation to say that, well, maybe, because see, remember when St. Ronnie of Raygun got shot? We had that brief paroxysm of sanity where we finally passed the Brady Bill and we had waiting periods on firearms purchases, and then we had an assault weapons ban for a little itty bitty bit of time, and one of the first damn things that the dim leader administration in the reign of error did was to just say, well, hell, I don't care, let that expire. Because we didn't even have the guts or the gumption to make the assault weapons ban permanent. And so Ron in the only recently frozen north. We're still not frozen down here. It might finally start getting down into the 30s over the next couple of nights. But Ron in the recently frozen north says, the simple answer, Bob, no, there is not. You know what? And okay, since we started out with, you know, the wine that Jesus and King David drank, by gosh, by golly, bagum. If Jesus H. Christ return to Earth tomorrow in all his magnificent zombie powers, and somebody, well, first of all, he would look like, you know, one of those people. I mean, what do we, ain't you, you look like one of them Syrian refugees. Bang! I don't think we would wake up even then. That's how far down this goddamned rabbit hole we are. We truly, truly are. There is, because all kinds of reasonable people, you know, there was speechifying at the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner last night in New Hampshire, and please, Democratic Party, please, I'm still a registered member, you know, I have a say in this. Please, Democratic Party, can we get the Jackson part of the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner off the table, okay? And while we're at it, can we get the Jefferson part off, too? What do you say we call it the FDR dinner? Huh? Possibly? Maybe? How about the FDR Kennedy dinner? Can we get the slaveholders and the Indian genocide perpetrators disassociated from the Democratic Party? Pretty please. Just asking. Just saying, not saying, just saying, not saying. But no kidding. We're so far down this rabbit hole that Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton last night in New Hampshire had something to say about gun violence. Martin O'Malley had something to say about gun violence. Bernie Sanders had something to say about gun violence. And, you know, the room politely roared its approval. And as far as numbers of people in the United States wanting to have some sort of a sane, reasonable response to the murder hell pit that the United States has become, you know, it's a clear majority. I mean, hell, there are Republicans who want a reasonable regulatory response to the fact that we've become a hell pit of murder. And nothing happens. And it we had a biblical reference to begin the program with the King David bullshit. It would seem that Pharaoh, if we are Pharaoh, no, we're not Pharaoh. Our hearts have not become hardened. But Wayne LaPierre's heart has become hardened. And all those Republicans who take Wayne LaPierre's money, their hearts have become hardened. And so while they will dutifully run to the microphone to say, oh, we're sure going to pray and send our prayers for them 11-year-old girl and that 7-year-old girl who ain't got no daddy no more. We ain't going to do shit about the fact that you don't have a daddy. But if it makes you feel any better, here in a day or so, there'll be some other little 10 or 9 or 12-year-old little girl or boy ain't got no daddy neither. Maybe y'all can have a club. Mm-hmm. Right. God almighty. 13 past the hour. We're going to the phones in a second. I had a note from Dr. John earlier today. And I thought I would mention it here to begin the second hour. Bob, please announce a $50 challenge at your next convenience. I'll match the first $50 that comes in. So, henceforward, the next $50 that roll in contribution-wise will be doubled to $100, courtesy of Dr. John up in New York. This is a great way, Dr. John says, to double your contribution to support Bob, host of many talents. It was very cool to hear him filling in for Malloy last week, but the horn still has bills to pay. Thank you, John. That's true. And so your 50 becomes 100 if you respond to Dr. John's challenge or any portion thereof. And that'll get us, that combined with what's already happened, will take us to, we'll fill the hole up to the $500 level from the $600-plus level we're at right now. So please be advised, there is a challenge on the table, a matching challenge courtesy of Dr. John. Let's run over, and of course you do that at headonradionetwork.com under the Contribute tab with the PayPal interface, and never mind where you work and who you work for, you can just leave that crap blank. Let's run over to line one. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, what's happening, Kevin?
Well, you know what's happening here. I wanted to call in and just point out some of the things people may not have heard.
Okay.
This guy, I'm trying to think of a better word besides deer. Little hard to
the subhuman here. Scum. Can we work with that? Subhuman scum.
Yeah, SHS for short. He moved here about a year ago. They've already begun the insanity defense for this guy. And I will surmise that's a bunch of hogwash. He may be crazy, but he was sane enough to come all the way up from North Carolina, move about 60 miles outside of Colorado Springs, live by himself, and I will bet you this man has been planning this attack for a year. Why else would you move out here with no relatives, no nobody that you know?
No visible means of support, live in a trailer that has no running water and no functioning plumbing.
Exactly.
I mean, he was weaponized. However long he was there, he knew he wasn't going to need functioning plumbing. He knew he was not going to need running water.
Yep.
Because he was only there to do a mission.
Yep. And it, furthermore, as far as I know, and I've been to that location numerous times, the VA clinic is there, the King Supers grocery store is there. It's about a mile and a half from me, mile and a half.
God, you could have heard the gunfire from there.
I didn't, because it was snowing like crazy out here.
Yeah.
And actually, someone in the King Supers, which is right next door to the place, I heard an interview during the ongoing violence. She said she couldn't hear the gunshots. So, for what that's worth, who knows? Who knows what that guy had on him? I will bet that they keep calling it a long rifle. That's code word for AK-47, I'm betting.
Long rifle, high-powered rifle, those are both terms, Kevin, that people use who don't know anything about firearms.
Exactly, yeah. And then the bag that he carried in there with him, they still haven't released the contents of that, but I know they didn't even really start doing the investigation inside that building till they cleared that bag, made sure nothing in that bag was going to explode, detonate, kill other people. And then the kicker to all that is this Planned Parenthood Center, as far as I know, there hasn't been an abortion performed there. This was a place people go to get pregnancy tests.
STD testing, pap smears, mammograms. But frankly, and I understand your point in raising that issue, Kevin, I don't care if there were 1,000 abortions done there a day. I want to be abundantly clear about that, because, and maybe this is a time to bring this up, and I'm not trying to walk all over your dime or anything, but I want to be clear about this. You know how we always say, nobody's pro-abortion? You know what? I am. I am absolutely pro-abortion.
Yep.
I am absolutely for it. I think it is. I think that it is a net public good. I think that not compelling women to carry babies to term whom they do not wish to carry for any of a variety of reasons that only a woman can enunciate and only a woman can choose, I am absolutely for it, Kevin. And I hope I'm not offending you in that regard.
No, I totally agree with you, Bob. I don't have any children, but if my 14-year-old got pregnant, first thing, these people are wacko. I had a friend back when I was about 20. His 14, 16-year-old got pregnant. She never told anybody, never acknowledged it even to herself until the day she had labor pains. She ran into the room, told her father, I got to go to the hospital, got to go to the hospital. What's wrong? Got to go to the hospital. That's when he found out he was a grandfather. I don't want my 14-year-old doing that. If she can't come to me, I want her to have a place like Planned Parenthood to go to. And I want her to get the pregnancy test first. And then if she feels like she needs an abortion, yeah, she's 14, she's young, that may be a
From my perspective, that's going to be a pretty easy call.
Yeah.
But in a place like Hillbilly Hell where I live,
yep.
You know what happens to the pregnant 14-year-olds?
Oh yeah.
They become 15-year-old mothers, and their mothers wind up raising the child.
Yep. Yep.
And there's no way that that is a net social good. There's no way that that's a cultural plus, Kevin.
No, because if you become a mother at 15, what are your chances of working at anything besides a minimum wage job the rest of your life?
Well, I mean, what are your chances? I'll get about 1 in 10 million. Go play the lottery. Your chances are going to be about the same.
Yeah. And I've seen it in my, not me personally, but I've had friends that's happened to. It's just insane the way we, and this idiot saying, no more baby parts. Well, I guess human body parts scattered all over a Planned Parenthood lobby are better than, in your eyes, than, quote, no more baby parts.
Exactly, and that's the thing with stochastic terrorism, Kevin.
Yep.
Is that when you're weaponizing these people, you're changing. Stochastic terrorism rewires people's brains, and it only rewires the brains of people who are subject to having their brains rewired in the first place. But it rewires their brains in such a way that they can see those body parts scattered all over a Planned Parenthood clinic. They can see those as justifiable to stop X, and in this case, X is... And most importantly, to stop things that weren't happening in the first place, and to stop something that never even ever happened at all, no how, no way, the selling of baby parts. I mean, it's like, I don't know what's going on in these weirdos' minds, Kevin. It's like there's little fetuses up on blocks in front yards or something.
I heard a show last night, Bob, on, woman who had written a book about the Salem witch trials back in England. It's kind of the same thing going on with this meme about the baby parts and the Salem witch trials. Same kind of hysteria. You know, back then they had three little girls accuse people of witchcraft and they hung the people. And it's the same thing today. You've got people accusing Planned Parenthood of selling body parts. And somebody like this says, piece of crap that shot these people, he goes out and murders people because he's heard something. You know, no different. And in my mind, anyway, no different. It's just insanity. And I was thinking while you were talking about who would it take being killed for these people to rethink their fascination with guns. And short of Ron Reagan, I can't think of anybody.
Well, no, that's the whole point. We had this little spasm of giving a damn after Ronnie Reagan nearly got killed. Maybe if he had been all the way offed, we would have done something. But it was just a little spasm of giving a damn for a little bit of time and then move on. So if Ronnie Reagan, the saint of the Republican Party, I mean, he's their Jesus.
Yep.
If that's not enough to change him, nothing is.
You know what I think part of that there was, Bob? We actually saw on live TV Jim Brady get shot in the head, and we saw the cops that got shot too. But Brady was the most graphic of those. I hesitate to say this, Bob, but I really wish people, I've been there, I've seen it, I wish people would see a crime scene like what I'm guessing the one at Planned Parenthood was.
Well, you know what? No, that's a point very well taken, Kevin. And I recall the fact, and well, here we are. It's 7:25. We may get perilously close to Gerald finally winning again. But no, in the ashes of the end of the Second World War in Europe, German citizens were taken and marched through the camps.
Yep.
And they were made to work in the camps.
Yep.
So that they could understand the magnitude of the horror that they had enabled.
Yep.
And it was a badly needed lesson. And, you know, later on, you know, there were hangings after Nuremberg that needed to be done. I'm not a capital punishment guy, but in those situations, you can't make the argument. But maybe the Huckstorbees and the Carly Fibarinas and the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, our Canadian presidential candidate. Maybe they need to be, I mean, just whenever, the next time one of these things happen, you know, we go and we get them and say, come on, get on the plane, we got somewhere we got to go, and we make them walk through one of these things.
Yep. Before the bodies are removed.
Yes.
Because you haven't died like I have done on some of these things. And it takes a little bit out of you. Every time you see it, you learn as a professional, and what I did to kind of get used to it, if that's the right word. But to those people that are survivors of that Planned Parenthood attack that were in that building, who don't see that on a, they will never get that out of their mind. But the point
that you touched on there briefly is real. What do you do with the ones who will scream false flag and don't even think it happened?
Oh, I put a tweet out on Twitter, the over under on Alex Jones screaming false flag, and I haven't heard if he has or hasn't. I will bet he already has, but who knows? I don't care. Don't listen to him. Don't care. But you know that's out there. You know someone's going to come up with it. Oh, that didn't happen. That's just a false flag operation to get the people on the side of the Planned Parenthood.
Oh, no, no. It's never that. It's a false flag operation to take away our guns.
Yeah, because guns have been so helpful in modern America.
Indeed. Hey, Kevin, I got a roll. We've got people calling in and only one line to work with, but I'm glad that yours was the first voice heard tonight. I really am, Kevin. Thank you very kindly.
Mike, pass on my condolences deferred to, please.
I sure will. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye now. That's our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
Is this Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of faint, man.
Okay, I got the little funny thing going. So.
Yeah, maybe that's a general reminder, and not just you. I'm not singling you out, but don't call a program using Bluetooth or speakerphones, because it never works.
I'm going to rectify that very quickly.
Okay.
All right, is that better?
That is dramatically better. Better, Todd, dramatically better.
Yeah, so that's... All right, hold on.
Have I got you? Engineering on the fly, there's nothing quite like it. Oh, Todd. Todd? Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller. Todd, please call back. Yeah, welcome to the program. Oh, no, I didn't. I pushed the wrong button there. All right, we'll try another line. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's up, Bob?
I don't know, Jim. What's happening?
Oh, man. These shootings and things. I saw it. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago or something. It's like every week. And, I was kind of exaggerating, hoping that it wouldn't be, but it's really gotten that way. It's just like in New Orleans, I was talking with my brother and my mother and the other
guy. Oh, God, I heard. Yeah, what? Last week, or maybe the week before, there's some god awful shooting there.
There were two. There were two different ones. But, one was like about 50 kids or something. I don't know, 10 of them got hit. I'm not sure. You know, I didn't get all the information. And then there was another one. I was talking with a friend who still lives down there. And it's like you said, except for when St. Ronnie got shot, there was that little moment of pseudo-sanity.
Yeah, spasm. And that's all it was. It was a spasm, Jim.
Yeah. But as soon as a dim leader got in, and speaking of dim leaders, you know, I believe this, I was on Twitter today. Guess he was on the same. I was, your boy Sean Hannity was on
there. No, he's not mine. He's not mine. He's yours, Jim.
No, he wasn't on. I don't know where he was. I just saw his name. It was like before I was tweeting in something. Still getting that same machine thing on Twitter. But anyway, and there's nobody doing anything. The Democrats can't really do anything because the Republicans can block anything they do. I mean, I guess Obama could sign some executive order or something. But anything, it's so weird. Whatever Obama does, never mind. He's either overreaching, he's an emperor, or he's not smart enough. It's like, you know what they're going to say before they say it. You know? He's overachieving. He's overachieving. You know, he's got to look for, play ball with the Congress or whatever they come up with, whatever argument.
Yeah, why can't he? Why could you know? If he would have just gone and played golf with John Boehner more and told him that he'd end that god awful Obamacare and stop being all black and stuff, you know, maybe we wouldn't have the problems in government that we have. I mean, that's any Sunday show on any Sunday in the country, Jim.
No, I don't watch him, so I don't pay attention to it. You know, I can watch 5 minutes of it and I don't even know where it's going. I watch 2 minutes of Fox News, I don't even, you know what the whole thing is all the time. It's just, it's just like France. When the France thing happened, they were trying to blame that on. It's like, goddamn, you SOBs are just trying to reach so freaking hard. It's not even funny. It's pathetic. You know, and then the other thing was I was thinking, because I lived up in Colorado for a month, right?
I remember when you were briefly Jim from Coloradistan.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I thought about that when Friday I heard about the shooting going on. I was like, yeah, Bob might have saved my life. It's like, oh, yeah, because it's just the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, you walk into the convenience store or the grocery store and somebody with the free, like you said, it takes just a split second for a patriotic lawful gun owner to get into an awful gun owner. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or like the examples you used, the lady with the the brawl because she killed herself, which is, you know, good, good. And it goes back to what you were saying about people saying about abortion or, you know, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, or, you know. I'm like, good. We've got 7 fucking billion people on the planet. We gotta start thinking about.
Oh, but my God, Jim, don't say that in front of a wingnut, though, because the next thing you know, what you'll hear is, yeah, but one of them little fetuses might have cured cancer.
I've heard that stupid crap, but it was so long ago with the guy.
Yeah, and you know what? One of them little fetuses might be the next Hitler too. 7:36. There, I said it. Gerald wins.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that was the argument. It's such crap. And then Hitler's not just by himself. There was an economic, social environment that created the conditions for him to come to power. You know, he's not there just by himself. You understand what I'm saying?
I absolutely do.
It's like FDR wouldn't be FDR if, you know, certain things, you know, or, you know. So that's all crap to me. Yeah. So,
I mean, okay. Here's how bad it's gotten. You may have heard Kevin talking, Jim, about how the guy lived, 60 miles from Colorado Springs, out in the middle of nowhere. He was in a trailer with no running water, no functioning plumbing, okay? Because, you know, that's the white American domestic terrorist version of the 9/11 hijackers who wanted to learn how to take planes off and fly them, but not how to land them. Okay. He didn't need plumbing. He didn't need running water. He can bring it in jugs until the day he decides to go in and open the gaping mouth of hell in Colorado Springs. But here's how bad it gets. Carol sent this to me. And this is not real, except it sort of is. It's from The Onion, who is playing really, really too close to the goddamned edge of reality at this point in time. Dateline, and again, it's The Onion. Dateline Amarillo, Texas. Expressing frustration with the lack of convenient locations in his area, deranged gunman and anti-abortion fanatic Jared Broussard reported Monday that he could not believe how far he would have to drive to find the nearest Planned Parenthood clinic. You have to be kidding me. I figured I'd need to go maybe 10, 15 miles tops, but the closest one's almost 250 miles away, said a visibly exasperated Broussard, adding that he would have to scrap his plans for the entire day and leave right now if he wanted to reach the health care provider before it closed this evening. God, the nearest one isn't even in the state. It's actually faster for me to drive across the border to Santa Fe, and then even then it's still a 4-hour trip. That barely leaves me enough time to buy ammo. Broussard added that, given the length of the drive, he was thankful that he would likely not have to make a round trip.
It is effed up out there. There are some, I mean, and the system is built to create, ever since they started dumbing down the schools, which is like that, I think they definitely started that. And the way everything is just less and less and less. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So, you know, it's harder and harder for people to do that, you know. I mean, with less, from what I'm understanding, the way they're using it, the funding, it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it, and it's always being trying to always get lit. And then this insane drive, I know I'm going all over the place, this insane drive to not spend any money at all, and every chance they get to make it look like it's a total failure. Well, I don't think everything's a total failure. But if you set things up to fail, they do tend to fail. I mean, don't you notice they do that sometimes? I mean, it's like the Obamacare, some aspects of it, they tried to set it up to fail, you know?
There are elements of it like that, Jim, because it's predicated on the continuing vision of healthcare provision in this country as a life support system for the for-profit insurance industry. which means that
exactly.
We have, you know, we don't have the cart before the horse. We've got the horse standing out in the field somewhere, and the cart and the cart, you know, rolling downhill on the interstate.
I know it's all fucked up. There's no other way to put it. I'm glad you're back home.
You're glad I'm back home.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't have wanted to had to use the booger button on you.
Yeah,
the booger button is the booger button is really, really cool, but you know, wow.
Yeah, but
I mean, you want to know how? I got to tell you, you want to know how cool the booger button is? Since we bought our first one 10 years ago, the internet has gotten even bigger and stronger, so I can actually access my booger button from a web browser. I don't even have to reach and touch the button; I can touch it virtually, and the boogers go away.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's cool. It's real cool.
Yeah,
Jim, it's awful good to hear from you.
All right, okay.
We'll talk soon. And if you hear any more about that thing those things that went down in New Orleans, I'd like to know it, because just trying to read the news account was like, what? But it was a situation where there was a gathering of people and they just came and started. Somebody just came along and started shooting.
Kind of. I'll get more information from it because it was like one was a group of about like 50 people, and somebody just, you know, maybe a couple of them, obviously, I think a couple of them had got, you know, and they just kind of just started, I guess, you know, it kind of reminds me of that old Saturday Night Live skit. Remember that in the beginning? Show us your gun. Do you remember that? He's not that much younger than me.
No, I do.
But, yeah, but I mean, it's like that. So
well, and you know, and okay. So here's another thing. I happened last night to watch the Kennedy Center Mark Twain Award honors of Eddie Murphy, and they played the clip of him playing Buckwheat, which reminded me to go to the because of all the killing of Buckwheat, and they did the killing of Buckwheat. With Joe Piscopo playing Ted Koppel with the red-haired wig, and he asked one guy, he said, why do you think it is that people do these things? And he said, well, mainly because there are people in the media who irresponsibly make them into celebrities. Well, how about that? We'll be back in a moment with a little bit more about the killer of Buckwheat. And then brought to you by Mutual Life, because you could die tomorrow. And there it was, in all its glory. Jim, have a good evening.
All right, Bob.
See
you later.
Bye. Keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Jim, what's happening? From Jim to Jim.
And how are you? I'm sorry, I was overtaken by events there.
Nah, it's quite all right. It's quite all right.
Anyway, I'm sorry to hear about your son's friend.
It was awful, which is an understatement of monumental proportions, but he's devastated, as are, well, as is everyone who knew him. Knew her.
Well, I'm certain that's true. You know, unfortunately, people can be overtaken by events over which they have no control.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not. There's no point in speculating on this, but let us simply say that the ease of access to a firearm played handily in this.
I'm certain it did. They seem to be rather conveniently around when they're not needed. That's for sure. And you know, I've been watching the local station here, and there's just an acceleration in this, not only training people to be able to carry, and they're making a big thing of people who never used a weapon before to be able to use them deftly and accurately. And one guy said, well, you know, some of these women who came up here for training, they're better shots than my contemporaries. And I thought, well, how nice.
But see, the thing is, there was an actual Iraq War veteran who was killed in Colorado Springs. I talked about him in the beginning of the program.
Right.
He didn't run around looking for a weapon. When incoming fire came in, his training took over, and he started hollering for people to take cover, take cover, take cover. He didn't holler because you're a veteran, you know. I mean, you know this far better than I. When incoming is coming in, you take cover. You don't holler, return fire, return fire, return fire, do you?
No, that's not only is it axiomatic, it's instinctive. That's basically what it is.
I mean, it does no good. It does no good to shoot at someone you can't even necessarily identify. It's about taking cover, and so we've got a country now where there's no doubt he was a weaponized white male domestic terrorist. And yet, somehow or another, we can't quite get the for-profit media to call him that. He's a lone gunman. He's a disturbed individual. He's a gunman. No, he's not a gunman. He's a damn terrorist.
Well, how many terrorists do we need? I mean, how many terrorists have committed these unspeakable acts in the past 12 months?
But how many do we call terrorists? You know, a white guy with a gun is a disturbed individual. An unarmed black teenager is a thug. You know, before this country can admit that it has a domestic terrorism problem, we have to start calling them terrorists, don't we, Jim?
One would think so, but, you know, some people think of them as some type of freedom fighter. And they will use with some type of logic, which I don't understand. They'll say, well, what's one man's terrorist if another man's freedom fighter for whatever thing he believes?
Yeah, we learned that back in the 80s with Reagan calling the Afghans who would later become Al-Qaeda and the Taliban freedom fighters.
Oh, Lord, yes, absolutely. And, you know, this whole thing goes back with these terrorists or Al-Qaeda. And from Al-Qaeda came Hamas, and from Hamas came, oh, it goes back to even, World War II, during World War II, when you had that guy who was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who was an SS Obergruppenführer in front of the you-know-whos. So, I mean, it all goes back. And these people have issued these fatwas in which they've used even elements of that thing called the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
But, you know, you use that term, fatwa. For all intents and purposes, the right wing in this country has issued one against Planned Parenthood.
I guess they have. They're very upset about that.
Because the entire objection to Planned Parenthood is couched in religious terms. And that's one of the greatest problems we have in this country, Jim, is that people in this country do not understand that what we are witnessing is an attempt to drive this country into a state of obedience to a set of bizarre religious teachings. And I use the word advisedly, of course.
Well, that term is well couched. But I don't know. It just seems as though that the country is becoming one armed camp with people who really not properly trained, not properly schooled, and just totally devilish in their intent. But I mean, you look at the whole thing about this nation. I mean, I saw some reports recently about the fights that broke out in these Black Friday sales and stuff like that, and there were women stomping children to get to.
I saw a couple of hillbilly white men just beating the living bejesus out of each other at a mall in Kentucky.
Well, it was all over the state. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I thought to myself, my God in heaven, if people are going to become so unraveled, or if society can be so unraveled by something over a pre-Christmas sale, God only knows how would it behave if there were a real crisis. And it would be absolutely apocryphal. It really would.
I think we're going to find out, unfortunately. Hey, Jim, good talking to you, and it's awful good to be home. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take it easy. That's our buddy Jim calling not too far from not too far away. Let's see if we've got Todd back now. Is that you, Todd? Oh, Todd.
Yeah, I'm back.
There you are. Okay. I hated losing you in the first place.
Yeah, this is Todd. I'm about to cut off the whatchamacallit because we cannot have reverb. Okay. All right. Yeah, so I don't know when we got cut off. I was rambling. I looked at the phone and I said, oh.
We got cut off when you were, like, getting off a Bluetooth or speakerphone or whatever. We never got to ramble.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it is.
And I'm trying to figure out why is this? I thought I had cut everything off. I hear reverb. I don't know what's going on. All right, so I'll just go outside. Listen, we were talking about this, listen. Abortion is, it's sensitive. It's a personal thing. It's a very personal thing. Now, I don't know where we got cut off, but I have experience with this. And I'm telling you, that shit is personal. And I have been, I mean, it was a group of us. The first time I went, there was a group of us to support the young lady, right? Because she was having trouble. You know, some people act like, these young women have abortion parties or something. Let's go have a party. You know, I mean, that's the way I see it.
No, what?
That's the way these people act.
Yeah. No, you're not saying that's a reality. You're saying that that's how these freaks behave.
Correct.
Okay, good.
In other words, like, oh, we're going to go shopping and, oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go shopping. Let's go shopping for shoes and then get 15 abortions.
Correct. That's what I'm trying to say. Exactly. See, and I have been to Planned Parenthood twice. Once was with a family member, and once was with, it doesn't matter. Anyway, both times, twice for that type of service, but I had been there before when I was I recognized the logo. See, you got to, and this is where I think you missed everybody. This is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
When I was growing up, Planned Parenthood, that was the place where young girls could go, like people might, teenagers. Because, see, every young woman cannot talk to their parents about what.
I would dare say the majority of young women cannot talk to their parents, Todd.
See, right.
No. Yeah, go ahead. Todd? Oh, I think Todd's having technical difficulties this evening. I heard a little crackle there, and it was over. Let's try this one more time. Yo, Todd.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. You disappeared, man.
That was strange. Okay, so this is what I'm saying, is that, and if the dog barks...
Well, hey. That was well cued. Do you have him trained to do that?
No, she's wicked. Like they say in Boston, she's wicked smart. Anyway, see, this is these people are crazy. I'm telling. Look, okay. So this is not an easy decision. There is no person on earth, and it doesn't even matter if you're.
But Todd, don't we get a little sidetracked when we talk about it's not an easy decision? You and I, guys, we're not going to know what kind of a decision it is because we're never going to do it. I'm not sure, and I'm not speaking for anybody, but I'm simply saying that from where I stand as a human, regardless of gender, I can imagine situations in which it is an easy decision.
Well, that's the you didn't right exactly. That's where I'm going.
I mean, let's say it's a situation of rape or incest.
All right, you want to cut to the chase. That's
an easy decision, isn't it?
All right, you're trying to get me started cursing again. See? Now look, these motherfuckers are crazy. All right,
they have
already said, I don't care if he's been raped. No, and plus the fact that rapist has to come and visit the child. What the fuck are these people thinking about? They are fucking crazy. All right, I feel better. I'm sorry if I offended anyone.
No, you didn't. Sorry. No, you didn't. We're back home now, and we can use those words on the internet.
I mean, I just, I'm sorry, but I went to the backstop. You know where the train goes. You know, like that little thing that cast iron thing at the end of the train tracks.
Oh yeah.
I had to go there.
I understand. Just yep. Sometimes you got
to go there.
Yeah, you got to.
Because these people are crazy. Number one, everybody's not a Christian. Number two, look, that's not your. Women have a right over their own bodies. And for you to tell someone else what they can do with their body, especially when you're talking about this shit is so just conflated is the best adjective that could be used for this. Because let me start. Number one. Now, we all know stem cells are very useful, right?
But
and
yes.
Of course, you have things there are things that get, you know, refuse at that type of facility, right? And I'm probably jumping ahead. I'm really jumping ahead of what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say mainly about is that, see, there's a lot of young women who cannot talk to their parents. I mean, I grew up around a lot of women, a lot of young girls like that. That's what I'm saying. I've been there. It's like you're there to get condoms and get educated because some of these crazy MFs don't even want their children to know about sex education.
Oh,
so
no, they can't because there's a certain segment of this population that if children find out about, you know, sex education and then, you know, all of a sudden Uncle Daddy has a problem.
Well, that's the other thing. See? Exactly. Because they'll tell Uncle Benny and say, no, everybody, this is what our family does. No, this is what we do. Like, and she won't know until she's like 20, like, oh. Well, this is why I have problems with relationships. You know, so it's just the whole thing is just ridiculous. And this. Help me here, Bob. Come on. You know where I'm going. Help me. Pull me along.
I don't know if I can help you, Todd. I mean, I'm where you are. I mean, you said, you know, a few minutes ago, you said these motherfuckers are crazy. And Carol said, you know, that was fuckalicious, Todd.
Carol, thank you so much, because I respect the hell out of you. Honest to God. I can see Carol and I eating some buffalo wings and having a pitcher of beer, you know, whatever. But listen, I'm telling you, this is what I'm saying. Everybody's family is different. Everybody can't. All these young women cannot talk. Even grown women can't talk to their parents about stuff. I can't. So, all right. So we have that.
All right, there's that part. Okay, then there's the other part about this. When are Americans going to come to grips with the fact that Newsmax is bullshit? And if they're a bunch of liars.
Oh, Newsmuck. Newsmuck, light fart. The Federalist,
right.
The
that's
Blaze.
Right.
No, that's the source of all of this stochastic terrorism.
That motherfucker dropped dead. Now he's doing more coke than all these black people they swear are doing drugs, right? Now he dropped dead because he's doing so much coke his damn heart can't fucking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. But these are the, see, this guy, John Doofus Deer or whatever his name was, he doesn't become who he is unless he gets weaponized. Okay? He, and the vast majority of this country does not understand that he wasn't just a white guy, a homicidal white guy with a gun. He was a walking weapon. Okay? I mean, this
he's
is where,
a terrorist.
This is, he's a terrorist, but he's a walking weapon. Maybe we need to have a mass showing of the Manchurian candidate. Of course, you know, the right wing with the,
yeah, see, that's what happened with that Obama when he was over there in Malaysia or Indonesia or wherever.
Right?
But
you know, the Manchurian candidate is about a weaponized human. You know, that's why there's that famous scene what's her name? Murder She Wrote lady. Walking around as the Jack of Hearts or the King of Hearts?
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, Angela Lansbury is the Queen of Spades. I don't know, but she's walking, and you know, when they popped that card or however that worked, you know, then it was time for him to go to work. Well, that
you
is...
know that you know that that's real. I mean, you know that's very popular. You know that's what I do with dogs, right? I'm just saying it's very popular. It's easy.
I don't doubt it. I've never tried, but apparently it's not too damned hard to do with human beings either, Todd.
It's really not. What do you think we've been doing with people?
Because
I mean, not we, but our people, you know.
Dylan Roof? Dude was weaponized.
Okay. So since you brought it up, let me ask you a question. Listen, this is somebody who's grown up as a middle class person. I'm the poorest I've ever been in my life right now. Right.
Yeah.
I did not grow up like this, period. Like how I'm living now, but I'm still okay. But I'm just saying, I've seen a lot. Like strata up and down. What I'm saying is that why is it that we have all these unarmed young black people? They just get shot dead on the street. No question asked. Oh, you look fucked up. Bam, you're dead. Now, at the same time, we have folks who have killed people, still killing people, want to kill more people. Oh. Let me usher you into the courtroom.
Well, I mean, look at Laquan McDonald. Okay?
I'm not trying to turn this into some...
No, you're not turning it into anything, Todd. Everything is part of it, okay? You're 17 years old, and okay, you got a knife. Or whatever. That does not give the police the right to engage in summary executions, okay? 16 goddamn rounds, wasn't it? And some of them were in his back.
Okay, the update, you know me, I'm a news head, right? The update, 14 of them while he was on the ground. Which means, you got to understand, now...
Yeah,
remember,
at that point, right. That's
police
what
have different bullets than we have. They have the high. They have a high grain. High grain means there's a lot of gunpowder in that bullet. That means that bullet is more powerful, and they're hollow tips, which means that one bullet can pretty much kill you. One bullet from police's. Listen,
no, but when you're dumping the clip like that, it's 16 rounds from one gun. Okay,
that's how much they hold.
Was it?
He emptied his clip. That's what they hold.
That's what I said. He dumped the clip. And that's why I use the phrase, that's why I use the word execution. Now, you want to add, news hound that you are, you want to add insult to injury here? Guess what? A local branch of the Fraternal Order of Police, according to NBC Chicago, has set up an account to raise bail money for the guy who wasted Laquan McDonald.
Okay.
Now there's a couple of problems with this. One, in most jurisdictions, murder is the one crime where you are not automatically entitled to a reasonable bail. You can just, no bail. And there aren't just a hell of a lot of bailed out murder defendants out there. Generally, if you commit murder, you stay stay behind bars until the trial, because it's not automatic. But what this story says is, A, they're trying to raise, they're guessing that maybe since he's a white guy and a cop, maybe he gets $1 million bail. Yeah. Okay, so they're going to raise that. And you know what? They won't have any problem raising that in this country.
No.
But two, it also means that you think that you're declaring to the world that you want this guy out on the street pending trial for cold-blooded murder.
Well, why not? He's innocent until proven guilty.
I mean, Jesus Christ, NBC Chicago puts this story out, and it's not a story of shock or outrage. They're just printing a press release. Anyone wishing to donate to the bond fund account can do so at four locations of the Chicago financial institution, according to FOP Lodge 7. Checks can be made payable to...
Okay. You know what, Bob?
You can go to the bank to contribute to this guy's bail fund.
All right. I'm going to try to be very reasonable here. I'm going to say that the video that most of us have seen, we don't know what transpired before that young man was running down the center line of the highway with what would amount to a knife that no one, I mean, it's basically like a Barlow when we were growing up, it's nothing. It's a nothing knife. You know what I mean? It's really, like, you could do more damage with a damn letter opener, honestly. But that being said, fine.
Oh, son of a gun. Guess what? He's already out of jail.
No way.
This came in from Isaac. Subject line, Chicago officer Jason Van Dyke charged in murder of Laquan McDonald post bond is leaving jail 5 p.m. today, Central Standard Time.
All right, this is what I'm going to ask you. Now that we know that, this is what we don't know. We don't know what happened before we saw the video. But even, I don't care what the hell. Obviously, he didn't kill anybody with that little knife, or otherwise we would have heard it, right?
Right.
Right? Okay, so fine. So he didn't hurt anybody with the little knife. However, he's running down the street, and somehow... The officers feel threatened because he's running down the street with his tiny knife on rumors that he's been stabbing tires, which most tires now are steel-blooded radials, and trying to take a 3-inch knife into a steel-blooded belted radial is somewhat difficult. But that being said, anyway, so... He's going down the middle line.
Well, okay, but can I point out, Todd, that is not an executable offense?
Well, that's where I'm going. Now, why does it... And you saw these people. He's still alive. He's in the middle, on the yellow line, in the middle of the highway or the street. No, it's like an avenue in the area. Right? Now, it's hard... You can see on the video... Why does it take? There's eight cops around there already before the other cops arrive. Two in each car. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Four cars, eight cops. So, you mean to tell me you can't subdue a nigger with a fucking little-ass knife, and you got all these white people
No, time out, Todd, time out. You don't have to.
I'm fucking done, man.
You don't have to subdue him. You don't have to subdue him. You get to kill him.
On the spot. Period.
Because black.
So, I'm just saying, this is the only reason I called you tonight. Honest to God, I wanted to ask you this question. Why is it? Why is that okay? I mean, how many instances does it take?
So that would take the rest of the program and most of tomorrow. But I think I can get to it pretty quickly. Why is that okay? It's okay because it is what we have done to non-conforming black males on this continent since somewhere shortly after 1607, 1620, 1630. We got 300 plus years of tradition of this is how we do it. It's like when I was talking to Dr. Bill on Friday night. You know, the reason we have a Second Amendment is primarily for two purposes. It was so that everybody would be armed and gunned up to their chins for purposes of slaughtering indigenous people in this country, and two, so that the southern states could clothe runaway slave hunters under color of state law so that they could cross state lines, so that they could cross boundaries and go and hunt runaway slaves. Okay? That's the why. It's okay to kill Laquan McDonald because this country has a history in which it's okay to kill black people for not conforming to white norms.
Like you say, there's no pushback from Todd. No pushback from me.
Now, it's not okay. Let's be clear. Under most circumstances, if Laquan McDonald is a white boy, it's not okay to kill him. Now, it may be okay to beat the living hell out of him and deliver a life lesson or a teachable moment, but it ain't okay to kill him.
Do people understand what kind of message this shit is sending? I mean, seriously. If people are paying, I don't know, maybe people aren't fucking paying attention. I don't know. I'm not most people. But this shit is looking real fucked up.
I mean, look, okay, let's take it to a slightly different place, Todd. The Minneapolis Star Tribune has got hold of some court documents and has published them. The four guys who went and shot up the Black Lives Matter protest in Minneapolis back on the 23rd?
Oh, I forgot about it. Yeah.
Well, they got busted because they were all over the internet, all over 4chan and Reddit, talking about what they were going to goddamn do. Now, let's see. I love the names here. Alan Scarsella, Joseph Backman, Nathan Gustafson, and Daniel Macy. Man, that's just a representative cross sample of white European heritage.
Oh, we're going back to our textiles that work with the NSA, aren't we?
Phone records, computer records. let's see. According to the documents that the Minneapolis Star Tribune released, investigators have viewed a 4chan website email string where participants discussed going to the BLM protest to... I remember when BLM used to stand for Bureau of Land Management, but then again, we're back to Clive and Bundy. Damn it! To stir things up and cause commotion, the documents reported. Participants were encouraged to dress normal and look like the protesters, but were told to feel free to carry... let's see. Well, Scarsella's phone also contained photos of the defendants wearing camouflage gear and posing with Confederate flags and a whole bunch of guns.
Okay. See, this is a good time for me to insert something right here. The sooner that we acknowledge the fact as a country that the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists are actually terrorists and have been terrorists and will continue to be terrorists, then we're going to have a problem. And the sooner we acknowledge the fact that the Black Panthers were not terrorists, they did not shoot anybody. They got shot. They got surveilled. All they did was assert their rights.
Yeah. Hey, you want to scream a little bit, Todd? I got some.
And that's the fucking truth.
I got some screaming. I got a screaming subject here. So
are you gonna maybe get a hockey puck?
You might wanna. So I don't know how it is. I don't even know if it's still this way in West Virginia, but it used to be this way in West Virginia. If you just charged attempted murder, it was a goddamn misdemeanor. You had to charge attempted first-degree murder for it to be a misdemeanor. You want to know what these guys shot people.
Wait a minute. That's crazy. They want you to kill each other off so they can just get the land. That's fucked up.
But wait. So these four white supremacist, racist, homicidal maniacs in Minneapolis, you want to hear what they've been charged with?
Go ahead.
Now, they shot people. They shot people. They put bullets through flesh, okay? Scarcella has been charged with one count of second-degree riot while armed and five counts of second-degree assault. The other three defendants were charged with second-degree riot.
Why is it not attempted murder, at the least?
It's my question. Attempted first-degree murder. If you fire a goddamn gun at somebody, I was only trying to wing them.
Yeah.
The story says none of the five protesters who were struck by bullets suffered life-threatening injuries. Really? That's the standard now, is it? It's only a flesh wound. I'll come back, I'll butt your fucking head off.
You know, there's a little jiggering. I think what happens sometimes is that the bar, in other words, when you charge somebody with first-degree murder, it's a high bar. So if you really want to make the charges stick, what you do with people is you charge them with attempted murder or murder with intent to kill. You know, there's a whole lot of gray areas.
Well, and that's why I prefaced it by saying I don't know what it's like in Minnesota. Maybe one count of second degree riot while armed. Maybe that carries 10 to 35 in the Minnesota pen. I don't know, Todd.
Well,
but I mean, but at least in West Virginia here, we've got a very simple little criminal statute called malicious wounding. And you know, malicious wounding.
That's a gradient.
What the hell is that? Well, as opposed to your average, ordinary, garden variety, everyday hillbilly wounding.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you committed. I mean. That's a hell of a gray area.
Scarcella's bail has been set at $500,000. The others are at $250,000 each. They go in to get arraigned tomorrow.
So, damn. This is incongruent. This doesn't make any sense. $500,000. And you didn't, and it's not attempted murder, but it's malicious. So what is first degree attempted murder? What is that? How much is that?
I can't remember in West Virginia, but if you charge it to make it a felony, first degree attempted murder, I think it's like a 1 to 5.
Holy cow!
Maybe a 1 to 10.
You know, I've done some thinking about a comment I made to you about colonialism and neocolonialism and the way we're eating our own in terms of this country. And that, Like, and I'll never forget when you said it's already happening. It's already been going on. And that's the truth. They don't want you people there. They just want the damn land.
Oh, here, Appalachistan? Oh yeah, we're getting systematically depopulated.
Yep, they don't want you there. Nope.
Mm-mm. Nope, not at all. Hey, Todd, good to talk to you, my friend.
Take care.
You too. Bye now.
All right.
20 minutes past 8 p.m. here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. I can announce that we have crossed the $100 line in our attempt to close the gap on our $600-plus hole for the month of November. Thank you very kindly to Henry, and thank you to Jay. Thank you, Henry, for meeting Dr. John's challenge. Thank you, Jay, for jumping in as well. We are getting near the $200 mark, which would be like, you know, tonight's fundraising goal, which would be helpful. And then we'd only have $400 to go. So that's where we stand. I want to share something with you. Michael in Madison sent me this clip over the weekend. He just sent me another one, but I haven't had a chance to preview it. But this one certainly counts, especially within the context of what Todd and I were talking about. This is very powerful, and at some point in time, you might want to go and look it up on YouTube. It is by Tim Fite, F-I-T-E, and it is simply called White People. And it is a powerful visual as well as audio. It's really downright amazing, but you know, don't leave the program for it, but check it out. Just look up White People, Tim Fite, F-I-T-E. On YouTube. Here we go. Needed a little break anyway.
This song is for the nice white people. Do we believe in Christ, white people? The everything's alright, white people. I don't understand why they fight, white people. You're not a racist, and why are you turning a blind eye to racism? If you're not a bigot, then how can you live with a system that's bigoted?
White people!
This song is for the good white people. To do what they should, white people. This song is for the safe white people. Yeah, I don't think it's all about race, white people. White people, 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 white people. Out of touch and out of date, white people. United, holy state, white people. There's only so much you can fake, white people. If you're not a racist, then why are you turning a blind eye to racism? If you're not a bigot, then how can you live with a system that's bigoted? If you're not a racist, then why are you turning a blind eye to racism? If you're not a bigot, then how can you live with your bigoted privileges?
What?
Again, yeah, wow, just wow. And again, you'll notice, within the terms of the song, it's not all white people. This is a song for the white people who, and there's a lot of blanks to be filled in there. Unfortunately, there are a lot of white folks in this country for whom who live, not you, not me, not the Horn Family Commune congregation, but who live in those blanks. Okay? And it's real. It's very, very real. Note coming from Robert Oz. Subject line, afterwards. After they have shut down every Planned Parenthood clinic, after abortion has been made illegal everywhere in the USA, what do these people think will happen? Do they think that the world will become a good and wonderful place? Here's what will happen. The daughters of the rich will simply go out of the country for a safe abortion. Young women and girls will die in backyard clinics as they have in the past. There will be a growth in 12-year-old mothers dependent on Social Security, at which point the people who closed the clinics and made abortion illegal will start complaining about all these unwed mothers and their brats. Bingo. Because then we'll have to make sure that we clamp down a little harder on SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We'll clamp down a little harder on that. Maybe Debbie Stabenow can acquiesce in that again. You know, I remember. And we'll have to make sure that we, you know, maybe since it was such a rousing success in, 1995, maybe if she gets to be president, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton can kneecap the poor some more and declare that the era of big government is over. And we're going to help people lift themselves up by their bootstraps because we can't have this welfare anymore. I mean, I wish I didn't have to do my cheesy ass Bill Clinton impression when I do that. But Bill Clinton did that. There's no getting around it. And anybody who says, well, you know, I mean, he was trying to avoid like a congressional veto or something. Bullshit. An override of his veto. He believed in that conservative filth. He really, really did. Because, in the South, if you don't want to knuckle the poor, if you don't want to kneecap somebody who's struggling just to stay alive, well, then you're not a good conservative Democrat. And that's the only way you can be a Democrat in the South, such few as yet remain, is to be a conservative, well, I should say, to be a conservative white Democrat, is to be willing to take a big steamer on poor people just to show everybody that you got some family values. See how it works? I wish to God I was kidding, but I'm not. That really is how it is. And yes, absolutely, Robert, absolutely. If they can just get rid of it, well, two things are going to happen if they can ever get rid of abortion altogether. One, they'll move on to something else. Like, for instance, I mean, like for just take it as a given. You know, fertility clinics throw out fertilized eggs every day. Where are the protests in front of the fertility clinics? You know, that help people have babies, but at the same time also throw out a lot of fertilized eggs. Where's sweet Granny McClatchy or whatever her name is? Sweet Granny McCackle up in Massachusetts, who had to have her constitutional right to get up in the face of a woman going for a goddamn mammogram and showed her pictures of aborted fetuses. She's damn sure not at the fertility clinic now, is she? Because see, there's a trick in here. And that's this. If abortion is ever finally eliminated from the national discussion, if abortion becomes illegal not only for a poor woman in Mississippi, but for a well-to-do one in Massachusetts or California, or God knows, a well-to-do white female in Alabama, then the Republican Party dies. Because abortion politics, single-issue voting, is the only thing that's keeping them alive at this point. That's true. That is factually correct. If you can't motivate them for the sake of the little fetuses, they stand, the Republican Party stands to just disappear because their most dedicated, consecrated voting base stays the hell home. That's why there will always be another front in the war for the fetuses, etc. If they can get abortion outlawed, then next, you know, first they came for the abortion clinics, but I said nothing because I didn't need an abortion. Right? Well, eventually they'll come for the birth control pills, they'll come for the condoms, because these are theocrats, and most of this country doesn't have the first clue of what the broader implications are of their designs upon this country. And that's a damn fact. I mean, while the Colorado Springs murders, while the Colorado Springs terrorism attack, while the Colorado Springs domestic terrorism attack was underway, Chicken Noodle News decided it would be a great idea to bring on a creep from Illinois by the name of Representative Adam Kinzinger. And Adam Kinzinger said, he described, and this is a quote, these barbaric videos, and said those barbaric videos are why, you know, a good and decent, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian would have, quote, legitimate concerns, yes, about whether or not Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs that did not perform abortions in the first place had a right to exist, or whether the people in that facility had a right to be alive. You know, people who were already born, fully formed, fully self-aware, functioning human beings, whether they had a right to keep on going being that way. What, I mean... But That's the cost of freedom, is it? Meanwhile, a Moroccan man, a Muslim, in the Pittsburgh area, who is maintaining his anonymity, picked up a fare, and the person who got into the car was, your typical right winger, just vomiting from his mouth all kinds of anti-Islamic hate. It was late Thanksgiving night. And the cabbie is just driving this jackass home when his fare started verbally abusing him. First thing he asked him, "Are you from Pakistan?" "No, I am from Morocco, but I'm an American guy." The story then says, then he continued the conversation. He began to speak about ISIS killing people. I told him, "Actually, I'm against ISIS. I don't like them." I even told him that they are killing innocent people. I noticed that he changed his tone and he began to satirize Muhammad, my prophet, and began to shift to his personal life. He mentioned that he has two kids and was in prison for some time. So he gets the fare to his home. Didn't we already do this story? Oh, no. That story was out of North Carolina. This is a different one. And he said, "Wait inside, eh? I got to go in and get my wallet." Instead, he came out of the house with a rifle. The victim said, "I noticed him coming toward me. I didn't hesitate. I made a fast decision to leave and drove my taxi away because I felt he was going to do something. There's danger he would shoot me or something. I felt like he had the intention to kill me." And that's when the white guy domestic terrorist drove away. The cabbie drove away and the white guy domestic terrorist began firing at the cab. One of his rounds hit the driver in the back. He had to go a few more blocks before he was able to get help. He is listed in stable condition at an area hospital. Boy, don't you know Thanksgiving was a Jim Dandy at that guy's house? You know what probably got him upset? Some liberal probably told him that Syrian refugees weren't a danger. I hate the fact that so much of this stuff is so predictable. I hate the fact that this is just there for the taking, there for the picking, any given evening. As our good friend Carol Baker noted, Carly Fiorina should probably be indicted as an accessory to what happened in Colorado Springs after all of her maniacal, utterly unfactual ranting, her stochastic terrorism, There's that. We're going to just beat that word right up tonight. And I tend to agree. Carol has put some remarks up. And as usual, anytime she sits down to put a piece together, it's it's going to be something. You can go to Hear Women Talk, H-E-R-E, womentalk.com, and you will find Carol's article under The Opinionated Bitch. We all know better. She's queen of the minions. It is, as usual, a brilliant piece. Go forth and find it. HereWomenTalk.com. H-E-R-E, WomenTalk.com. And it's therein that she writes, Carly Fiorina should be named as an accessory in every single one of the bullets fired Friday. This will give Donald Trump a chance to think up something truly disgusting to say about the victims. I'm sure he'll tell the world tomorrow that he was there to witness thousands and thousands of Arabs and Muslims cheering on the shooter, while mumbling Ben Carson is on another channel saying he saw it too. Yeah. But this being Moran Monday and everything, leaving Carly Fiorina out of the loop would be, well, they would just be unjust. You may recall, she said in regard to the Planned Parenthood bogus video,
I saw a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain.
It does not matter that the video does not exist. But she doubles down because, you know what, in America, that's great for fundraising. And so, confronted with it yet again over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, well, she doubled down. Got the hockey puck still handy? I sure hope you do. You're going to love this. Oh, you are. You really are.
Presidential candidate Carly Fiorina, who's taken a hard line against Planned Parenthood's abortion practices. Ms. Fiorina, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you. Your reaction to the shootings at that clinic in Colorado Springs?
Well, this is a tragedy. It's
your reaction. That's not even a question. What is your reaction? Or maybe it could actually be a substantive act of journalism and. Isn't this country? Well, I never mind. What the hell am I talking about? It's Fox. Let's go back.
Thank you. Same to you. Your reaction to the shootings at that clinic in Colorado Springs?
Well, this is a tragedy. It's obviously a tragedy. Nothing justifies this. And presumably, this man who appears deranged, if nothing else, will be tried for murder, as he should be. But it's.
Okay. He's deranged. Well, Carly, how are you going to try a man who's deranged for murder? If he's deranged, he shouldn't be standing trial now, should he? Well, that's another one of those little facts, and we're not going to let it get in the way.
A tragedy, especially on a holiday weekend.
You have been one of the toughest critics, as we've said, of Planned Parenthood's alleged harvesting of body parts, selling them for fetal research. Some of the pro-choice advocates are saying language like yours, not specifically singling you out, but language like yours has incited violence. I'd like to get your reaction to that, but also, what is it that you would say to protesters, people outside these clinics, about the limits of their opposition?
Well, first...
Okay, this is where you want the hockey puck. Because, you know whose fault... You got the question, right? You're ready for the question. So, you know whose fault it is? You, me, us, we're why we can't have nice things. Absolutely.
It is not alleged. Planned Parenthood acknowledged several weeks ago that they would no longer take compensation for body parts, which sounds like an admission that they were doing so.
No, that's not the same. See, this woman can't help but lie, can she? Planned Parenthood did change its policies. But it's not like Planned Parenthood was you know what? We need a fetus pinky. Reach out to the network and see if anybody's got a fetus pinky laying around. Body parts. Brains!
Secondly, this is so typical of the left to immediately begin demonizing a messenger because they don't agree with the message.
You got that? Demonizing a messenger because we don't agree with the message. Because there he was, the murderer, the domestic terrorist, the white guy with a gun in Colorado Springs, killing fully grown adults, a police officer, an Iraq war veteran, wounding others. And you know, we're demonizing him. We're demonizing him because we don't like his message of no more body parts. Yeah, maybe that's not what Carly meant, but it's what she just said now, isn't it?
Longer take compensation for body parts, which sounds like an admission that they were doing so. Secondly, this is so typical of the left.
Notice that she says it sounds like an admission they were doing so. She does not say it is an admission they were doing so, because it ain't. Oh, she's a slick one, this Carly.
To immediately begin demonizing a messenger because they don't agree with the message. The vast majority of Americans agree. What Planned Parenthood is doing is wrong, and that's...
No, the vast majority of Americans don't agree, you dumbass! I mean, just because you're running for president does not, Carly, mean you aren't a dumbass. And you are a dumbass. The vast majority of Americans do not agree that poor women should not be able to have access to a mammogram. The vast majority of Americans do not agree that poor women should not have access to a pap smear to keep to try to find out if the cancer starts growing in their bodies. The vast majority of Americans do not agree that a man in need of health care should not be able to get his goddamn prostate checked. Oh! Dumbass is too mild.
Why the vast majority of Americans are prepared not only to defund Planned Parenthood, but also to stop abortion for any reason at all after 5 months. So what?
No, America isn't. There's no statistical data to support that crap. Unless it's coming from, you know, Glenn Beckerhead or Light Fart. In which case, it's entirely faked up, frauded up, dummied up, and rubed up, and ginned up. Somebody say gin? And you know what? America is not ready. America is not ready, Carly, to watch its friends and neighbors die from discoverable, treatable, curable disease. Maybe you are, you vile puddle of vomit. But America isn't, because America is not comprised of millionaires like you, Carly. America is comprised of people who know what it is to struggle every day. America is comprised of people who have mothers, wives, sisters, aunts, grannies, and great-grannies. And they're not prepared to see them sacrificed on your blood-soaked altar of your godforsaken, disgusting fucking ambition. Hey, America, you can lie like Carly. 1. Lie. 2. Lie about lying. 3. Say proof you're lying is left wing. And when caught lying, play the victim. And 5. Lather, rinse, and repeat.
What I would say to anyone who tries to link this terrible tragedy to anyone who opposes abortion or opposes the sale of body parts is this is typical left-wing tactics.
You goddamn filthy piece of trash. What a monster. Left-wing? It's left wing now not to want people murdered on the whim of a lawful, awful gun owner. He was a lawful gun owner after all, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Didn't have any problem buying that weapon now, did he? Nope. He got that weapon easier than most of us could go and get a goddamn fishing license. Because freedom. Wolverines! Yeah. And you left-wingers.
To anyone who tries to link this terrible tragedy to anyone who opposes abortion or opposes the sale of body parts is typical left-wing tactics.
The protesters, the people that are outside the clinics and opposing.
Well, any protesters should always be peaceful, whether it's Black Lives Matter or pro-life protesters. Protesters should always be peaceful and respectful.
Let me, Republican.
Okay. I don't know how Black Lives Matter got in there, but we can certainly, you know, Carly can. It can hang a little filth on them. You know what? That's the thing. Those Negroes aren't being respectful. Don't you hate it when the Negroes aren't respectful like sweet Granny McCuckoo up in Massachusetts? They need to be respectful. And you know how you're respectful? You get a great big color poster of little bloody baby parts, and you shove it in a woman's face who's going to get her pap smear. That's respectful, you know, because Jesus. But let's not pretend for a moment that Carly is the only one working this side of the street. Oh, hell no. Because we've got Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz. Our Canadian presidential candidate. You know why America has a crime problem? Well, I can tell you. I sure can. Oh, by the way, in case you were wondering, guess what else they're trying to hang on the murderer, the domestic terrorist deer? He's a transgendered leftist activist. Even though Deer's ex-wife says, no. He's a religious conservative. Nah, he's a nut. He's a wing nut. He's a right winger. He's an evangelical fundamentalist. Transgendered leftist activist. I am told, by the way, that Planned Parenthood does not do mammograms. So I was wrong in that regard. But still, you know, okay, let's say you're going down to Planned Parenthood for a pocket full of condoms. Nah, you get to look at sweet Granny McCuckoo's the abortion porn too. Because you don't have a right to privacy. You don't have a right not to be assaulted by these freaks. I still say people need to take, I don't know, very good hardwood walking sticks with them when they go. Oh, wait, Carly says we have to be respectful. No, Raffaellito's working this side of the street too. He knows why we have a crime problem. Mm-hmm. He of course was being interviewed by rising right-wing media freak Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt. Yeah. I got medicine for that.
And before I switch to the 2016 race, I have been doing pro-life events for 25 years. I've probably done more than 100 of them. I have never met, not once, a single pro-life activist who is in favor of violence of any sort. Have you, Senator Cruz?
Well, that just means they don't exist now, doesn't it?
I have not. And I would note that this whole episode has really displayed the ugly underbelly of the media. You know, every time you have some sort of violent crime or mass killing, you can almost see the media salivating, hoping desperately that the murderer happens to be a Republican. So,
no, dumbass, we're predicting. I'm tired of playing nice with these freaks. Ted Cruz, I don't give a good goddamn about your nasty little Harvard degree. You're a fucking dumbass. I'm getting all of my F words out of my system this evening. See what happens when they back up?
They can use it to try to paint their political enemies. Now, listen, here's the simple and undeniable fact. The overwhelming majority of violent criminals are Democrats. The media doesn't report that. What they report, and there's a reason why the Democrats for years have been viewed as soft on crime, because they go in and they appoint to the bench judges who release violent criminals. They go in and they do what Barack Obama tried to do, which is appoint a lawyer who voluntarily represented for free a cop killer to a senior Justice Department position.
Oh, you racist piece of trash. Now, he's talking about the civil rights division nominee that was rejected by the Senate with help from, you know, my senator, Joe Manchin, because he dared to actually write a constitutional argument brief on appeal for Mumia Abu-Jamal, wasn't it? In which it turned out he was right.
They go in and fight to give the right to vote to convicted felons. Why? Because the Democrats know convicted felons tend to vote Democrat. And so the media never reports on any of that, doesn't want to admit any of that, but you can see in every one of these, every time there's a terrible crime, they're so excited. Come on, please, one of these be a Republican so we can try to...
All of them! Is this clown trying to say that Eric Rudolph was a goddamn card-carrying FDR Democrat? Huh? Brr. Okay, time to get the tequila bottle and the swirly straw. I'm out of here. Tim from L.A. says, so the guy was deranged? So Carly is supporting gun control now? I'm going to go and ask her on Twitter. Oh, do please, Tim, and let us know the results, by all means. It is, though. It's time to get out of here. We almost made it to $200 this evening. We almost made it to the evening's fundraising goal, which means that we're somewhere around $425 to go to finish November in the clear. It looks like we'll be carrying a deficit over. That's tough, because there's a bunch of damn bills to pay. I'll cross my fingers. Thanks, though, to everybody who did help out this evening. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, David, for becoming a new subscriber. Thank you, Carol. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Thomas. One and all, thanks, everybody, for helping to keep this on the air. It's the only way we do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Hope you're well, Gene. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.